Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 40, verse number 20. We're right in the middle of the story of Joseph in Egypt. Joseph's been in Egypt since he was 17. He is now in our story 28. So he's been here for 11 years. And during that time, he prospered for a while in the house of Potiphar, the chief butcher of Pharaoh, until Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, saying that he'd attempted to rape her, which got Joseph tossed in the pit of prison. And so Joseph then started from the bottom and worked his way up to the top trustee because of the blessings of God, and he was prospering in that respect when he comes into contact with two of Pharaoh's high officials, his chief baker and his chief cupbearer. And these men are given dreams, prophetic dreams by God, which Joseph then interprets. It's a negative interpretation for the baker, that he's going to die in 3 days, be executed, while the chief cupbearer is told, you're going to get back into your old job. Now, Joseph asked one thing as payment for interpreting these dreams, and that was, when you get restored, Mr. Chief Cupbearer, let Pharaoh know I'm a kidnapped Hebrew, that I am illegitimately enslaved here for the last 11 years, and I want him to hear my case. And so that's the appeal, and now we have to wait for the 3 days to transpire, which they do, starting in verse 20. Genesis 40, verse 20. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer. That would be a positive sense. And the head of the chief baker among his servants, and that would be a negative. He restored the cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So everything happened exactly as Joseph said it would. Yet, verse 23 reports, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the chief cupbearer didn't seem to find the right moment in his mind to tell the Pharaoh about the kidnapped Hebrew that was in custody. And a whole 2 years go by before we can move on to the next part of the story in chapter 41. Before we do that, though, there's a bit of chronological business we have to take care of from back in Genesis 35, verses 28 and 29 that I told you we would do. And that is, in the chronology that we're working with, and by the way, if you're interested in my chronological work, the thing that I use as my guidance, go to the website, intotheword2020.com, and look in the resources section, and you will find my chronological companion to the Bible. And this is a very detailed chronological outline of all of Scripture. I've worked on it for several decades now, and I think you would find it helpful to see where things happen in relationship to one another. So, the year that Joseph was sold into slavery was basically 908 going into 07 BC. He was 17 at the time. The story that we just told takes place when he's 28 in 1897 going into 96 BC. And the following year, 1896 to 1894 BC, into 1895 BC, that's the year that Yitzhak died. So Joseph will not get to see his grandfather again. But Genesis 35 tells us this, verses 28 and 29. Now the days of Yitzhak were 180 years. So he lives a very long life, longer than probably the average of other people by quite a bit, because of the blessing that's on this family line. Yitzhak breathed his last, and he died, and he was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Yaakov buried him. So the twin sons of Yitzhak get together. They're 120 themselves, and bury with honor at the cave of Machpelah in Hebron their father Yitzhak. And this is the last time we hear about these two sons of Yitzhak being together. They, I believe at this time, are both still worshiping the one and true living God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and now Esau and Yaakov. All right, so the next story that we go back to is what happened in 2 years for Joseph's story, or the year after Jacob buried his dad. All right, and so 1895 into 94 BC. Chapter 41 of Genesis, after 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. So his dream starts out really pleasant. And this is a dream given to him by the one and true living God. Behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin. And you've got a picture of them. You can see their bones, their skeleton through their skin, because they're so famished, so far along in starvation. They came up out of the Nile after them, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And then the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows, and then Pharaoh awoke. And that would be quite the shocker. And I am curious as to how it happened. Did the thin cows just suddenly open their mouths super, super wide and swallow the big, plump cows? And then all that's left is the 7 thin cows, or did they attack them and kill them and start munching on their bloody corpses until they were gone? Either way, it would have been a scary dream. And so Pharaoh wakes up, and he's wondering, what in the world is that about? And he probably already suspects that this is not just your normal dream, that there is a message hiding behind this dream. So then he goes back to sleep. Verse 5, he fell asleep and he dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. So he sees this wheat plant, probably wheat, and it has 7 heads of grain on the top of it. And they're big, big, big chunks of grain. Making up these heads. So it is a fantastic looking wheat stalk. It's the sort of thing you'd want to see in your field. And then, behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And so as Pharaoh continues with his dream, He sees this other stock right next to the one that he's already looked at, and it's got these nasty looking little bitty tiny heads of grain on it. And then the thin ears swallowed up the seven plump full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And so this time, these are not animals, so they don't normally eat, but these little scrawny-looking ears of grain suddenly have mouths, and they chomp up the seven big, plump, wonderful-looking heads of grain. And notice that the number seven is used throughout the dream, and Pharaoh would have known that was a significant thing as well. And so he wakes up, probably in a cold sweat, and he's thinking, this is important. I need to find out what this means. This is from the gods. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians. So he calls for all of the diviners, the wise men who interpret spiritual omens. So these are the guys that work for the gods and the goddesses of Egypt. But they are being stopped from having any ability to suggest an answer for him. God is intervening here. He's shutting them off as an avenue for information. So he calls for all these magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but none of them can interpret them to the Pharaoh. I almost get in my mind this picture that all these guys are suddenly just stupid. It's almost as if they are struck mute and incapable of verbalizing a response to his inquiry. And so there is somebody else that's in the court that day that sees this happen. And that's the chief cupbearer. And he senses this is important. This is something I need to help with. And so the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night. And by the captain of the guard there, that's the chief butcher word or phrase. So in Potiphar's prison, when we were in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us. Now, remember, Joseph was 28 at the time, so that's a good description of him, a young Hebrew. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, you know, a servant of Potiphar, the chief chef. And when we told him, he interpreted our dreams for us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dreams. And as he interpreted us, so it came about. And I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. So he says, excuse me, your majesty. I am reminded today of something that I should have taken care of 2 years ago. And it's all about dreams. And you need a dream interpreter right now. And I know where there is one that is very good at it. And so verse 14, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. So while he was in the pit, when he was in the prison, he was not shaving as was normal for those moving around in Egyptian society. Egyptians had this thing about body hair for some reason, possibly because of lice. So they shave the hair off their head, they shave their eyebrows, they shave their pubic areas, they shaved everything. And then they would wear fake headgear, that looked like it had hair, and fake beards and stuff like that. So, Joseph, who is now 30, because it's been 2 years, and he was 28 back then, so he's 30 now. He gets all shaved up again to look like an Egyptian servant. He's got a nice little skirt back on his hips again, and he is ready to be escorted into the presence of the most powerful person in his world. Verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And so Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. Seven cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile, fed in the reed grass. Seven other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly and thin, such as I'd never seen in all the land of Egypt. And then the thin, ugly cows ate up the first seven plump cows. But when they'd eaten them, no one would have known that they'd eaten them, for they were still as ugly as the beginning. And then I woke. And I also saw in my dream seven ears growing on one stalk, full and good. Seven ears, withered thin and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears, and I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. So here is Pharaoh wanting answers. And he explains the dreams again, and it's an exact repeat of what we saw earlier, except now he tells us that the seven thin cows didn't get any fatter after they ate the big fat cows. And we are now going to hear the interpretation. I almost forgot. Some of you might be interested in identifying who this Pharaoh is. And I think given the chronology, it is likely that we're talking about the man Senusret II. And he served, according to chronologies of Egypt, from 1897 to 1878 BC, which would mean that he came to power right about the same time that the baker and the cupbearer got in trouble. Maybe they didn't like this new guy, and maybe they said some things. Maybe there was even some plans to disrupt it, disrupt him coming to power by the chief baker. But the big thing that we know about this guy is that he is well known for his extensive work in the Fayum Oasis region, which is about 40 miles southwest of Cairo, because he wanted to significantly increase agricultural production. And we will learn later that this pharaoh is the one who had 7 years of really good crops. And so it's possible that Joseph's interpretation of this dream is what prompted this man to begin his Fayum Oasis improvement project. So you can look him up. Again, it's Senusret II. I think he's got some other ways that his name is spelled in English, but you can certainly find him. Verse number 26. Verse 25. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one, meaning they're one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. East wind comes off the Sahara Desert. So that's why it's a drying wind, are also 7 years of famine. So it's seven good years of crops followed by seven bad years. Verse 28, It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of the Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. So the reason for the two dreams is because it's important to pay attention, because the first year of plenty is about to start. Now, therefore, Joseph gives advice, not just simply interpretation. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years. So you need to have one guy taking care of the entire land of Egypt and a whole bunch of people working under him, and you need to assess a 20% tax of the crops, and you need to take that 20% from everyone and put it in storage. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. So 20% a year for 7 years is 140% of one of the really super abundant years. So they're going to have stored up at least 140% of just one of the good years. Verse 36, that food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. So by doing that, they will have sufficient supplies on hand to get all of Egypt through the seven bad years. In effect, because the years are so good, they will have more than enough to help the Egyptians out. They will have a surplus that they can sell to others. Verse 37, the proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. They think this is a very smart plan. And so Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. So the Pharaoh identifies Joseph as the right man for this job that Joseph recommended. And this is how Joseph now becomes the number two guy in Egypt. He's 30 years old, but he is now the steward, the vizier, if you will, of the entire land of Egypt. Verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. So he dresses him up like the Pharaoh himself in that high style of clothing. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee! And thus he set him over the land of Egypt. So everywhere Joseph goes, he's in a chauffeured chariot, and he's got runners ahead of him telling everybody that they need to show proper deference and respect for the vizier of Egypt, the number two guy in all the land. Verse 44, moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in the land of Egypt. So Joseph has been given this high-profile job, and that is a big change in the 13 years since he arrived here as a slave. He's given a new name, which is not uncommon, that when you start working as a foreigner for the king of a different land, he wants you to become more like his culture. So Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And nobody knows for sure what the name means, but the guesses from Egyptian experts are God speaks, he lives. So when God speaks through this guy, people get to live. That seems to be his name. And he gave him in marriage to Aseneth, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. Now, On is the name for what is probably better known now as Heliopolis, which is located below the delta, or in the southern part of the delta, I think. And so he marries him off to a very high-profile family. Should we say one of the top priests of the land, his daughter becomes the wife of Joseph. And so Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. So we've now moved Joseph to this very prominent position at the beginning of the 7 years. And when we come back tomorrow, we will see how he follows through with his own advice and how this prepares the stage for the famine that will bring his brothers to Egypt looking for relief from their own starvation time.